All right, hello again, and we have a texter in on 51551 on our earlier discussion about Niall Collins and the planning application and his statement in the Dáil this evening. For the love of God, will politicians and the media please deal with the issues of the day, cost of living crisis, Ukrainians, housing, and stop trying to hound people out of office. Sick to the teeth of it, says Weeshie Lynch in Annascaul, County Kerry. Well, thanks for that. You can get us, as I say, on 51551, email us on latedebate@rte.ie or tweet to @latedebaterte. They're not off the hook, not by a long shot. That was the summation of Fianna Fáil TD John McGuinness following AIB's appearance at the Finance Committee earlier today, where the bank denied it was giving favourable treatment to favoured cohorts of customers. Here's a flavour of the defence mounted by AIB's Managing Director of Retail Banking, Jim O'Keefe.
You mentioned the fact that the public want to know, do we have a special deals arrangement? We do not. We deal with every case consistently and fairly. We have a governing set of policies that are reviewed internally, right up to the board. We have a regulator who quite correctly monitors our activity. We have various lines of defences, as I mentioned a while ago, but I can categorically tell you there are no special deals for special individuals coming to AIB.
As I say, that was Director of Retail Banking at AIB, Jim O'Keefe. Paul Hosford, this came off the back of the news of a substantial debt write-down to former hurling star DJ Carey. That pretty much gave rise to today's appearance and some of the, presumably, the ire that had caused public representatives to call for AIB to be there.
Yeah. So this is the RTE primetime revelation that DJ Carey got a substantial write-down. It was originally listed at about 99%. It turns out it was about 80% because there was property sales factored in. But it was about 80% of a €9.5 million debt. Politicians across the board wanted to know about this. Catra Murphy was lined up. John McGuinness was lined up. They wanted to hear from AIB just about the process. It's still a majority state-owned bank, so there were still questions about how do you decide who gets a debt write-down. So today, Jim O'Keefe, who's the Managing Director of Retail Banking, and a couple of his officials came in. In his opening statement, he revealed that there was about 1,900 people under this financial services group. This is a unit in the bank that was set up about 10 years ago. It's helped 150,000 people find what they call a solution. It could be debt warehousing, it could be debt write-offs. It kind of differs based on the case-by-case basis. He said of that 150,000 people over the last decade, about 1,900 have gotten a 90% debt write down. Now, there's two ways to look at that. You can say, look, 1,900 people is a lot of people to get a write down, but also that treatment for just 1% of the people who went in looking for some treatment indicates that there is a class of case, and we don't know what the criteria is to get into that class of case that enables you to get a 90% write down. All of the questioning today, Pierce Doherty, Patrick Tobin, Mick Barry, everyone wanted to know realistic in and around the process for getting a write down. Now, the criteria was laid out. It's about your affordability. It's about a benchmark lifestyle. It's about what you can afford to pay afterwards. And these deals tend to give the person a way back. You can still earn a bit of money. It's not punitive. The bank understands that it makes no sense to have somebody who's completely under the thumb, not earning, not able to progress in life. But they didn't really elaborate on how much that 1,900 people were worth. So what the actual cost of the write-off was. So the question was, is this just the DJ Careys of the world? Mick Barry went back to that old adage that if you owed a bank €5,000, you've got a problem. If you owed them €5 million, they've got a problem. He was asking, is that the kind of class of person who's getting this? Jim O'Keefe was very strong in fairness. He said, there's no special deals. He said there's no special cohort that gets these deals, and that it is a fair system. But I suppose the question that John McGuinness kind of put to them at the end was about coming back with that information. Who are the 1,900? Not necessarily who they are, but what kind of deals did they get?
Yeah, what's the net worth of people in order to come to the attention of AIB in this kind of way? David Hall of the Irish Mortgage Holders Association was on primetime before we came on air. Pauline O'Reilly, he said the ball's really in the central bank's court, because calling somebody in front of the Oireachtas is one thing, but the conduct of banking in the country is the job of the financial regulator, and if it's by the book, and it's the central bank's job to find if it is.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably a fair point. There's an independence from government, and so, you know, and that's as set out by the European Commission. There has to be that independence, so there can't actually be interference from government in the operations of individual banks, and that's correct. I mean, I listened in today to the committee.
What did you think of it?
What's a real challenge for me and for constituents and for people listening in is that because they can't go into individual cases, you don't really understand. They are laying out what the parameters are for making the decisions, but you have actually no oversight. The committee has no oversight on how they made those individual decisions. And it is the individual ones that people care about.
Well, Jim O'Keefe was saying these decisions went right up to the board level. So when decisions have to go up to the board level, what other ones are filtered out, I suppose, before those decisions that go to the board?
Yeah, and they made it quite clear that it's not easy to get a debt write-off. And if that's the case, there's quite a lot of consideration that goes into it behind that. Now, you know, they did make it clear that unless somebody is being transparent with their finances, they're not going to get it.
Okay.
So they need to be very, very clear about that, and they need to show what their spending is. So actually, everything's on the table. But in the end of the day, if I'm listening in and I didn't get my debt written off as somebody with a much smaller debt, I would still have questions, I think.
Well, there's people emailing in. One person emails in, says, absolutely seething living in a mica house, crumbling and still paying a mortgage. That's from Michael. And somebody, Dave and Claire, says, same old Ireland, one law for the rich and lesser for the poor. The next election will show the true feelings and opinions expressed by those who have elderly or family members on a disability. So Shane Castles, whatever about the central bank, as David Hall was saying, that it's their job to scrutinise rather than the Oireachtas Finance Committee. I suppose the other people who might have questions to answer on this are the public interest directors on the board of AIB, who would have sat on that board when these decisions were being made.
Yeah, I heard some of David's comments before I came into the studio here talking about, why AIB should be there. But I think it was right that they were there. I think it's right that they're answering questions. I think John McGuinness is right. It's only the start of a conversation. David Hall talked about the banks get a bad rap, and rightly so, because some of the things that happened in the country. But equally, I think it was important that they put on the record as well, like, we have a very, very low level of house repossession in this country. I think the stat was given that since 2017, there's only been 8 homes repossessed by AIB in the last 6 years.
So how many loans sold off to foreign funds?
Yeah, and I think that's an important, in terms of the vulture funds, that's an important point. And I think John McGuinness made the point. John McGuinness made the point that consistently, that Oireachtas Finance Committee has sought the vulture funds to come in before that committee, and they have refused. And I think there's a role for the central bank and Minister Michael McGrath as Minister for Finance, using the moral authority of this country, to force those guys in before the Oireachtas. And I remember dealing in the last term when I was on PAC with Cerberus and that whole project investigation as well. And, you know, that's what those boys should be in there, being held account and actually getting that information out into the public as well. Because when you think about it, there's 130,000 people whose mortgages are in vulture funds. They're paying double the amount of interest. It's not sustainable, and people like that are going to end up in repossession situations if we don't tackle it.
Paul Donnelly, just to take a step back on it, a bank has obligations under company law to its shareholders and to maximise the return to shareholders. That's the law they have to operate under. Is there any reason to suspect that they wouldn't operate according to that law to maximise the return for the bank and effectively give free money to people through undeserved write-downs?
Well, look, I think one of the questions that needs to be answered is, like, what are the parameters of the decisions that were made? Like, as Paula said, when they're sitting down making a decision over somebody who owes $500,000 on a house on a mortgage that they bought during in 2004, 2005, when prices had gone off the scale, and then somebody comes in with a $9.7 million loan, how is that decision made? You know, what parameters are used to decide whether this person gets sold off to a vulture fund?
Maybe it could be explained.
And this person gets a complete write down, or maybe
it could be explained by somebody who was in a position to get into a debt of $9.5 million in the first place had materially different circumstances to when things started to go wrong. And when the tide went out, there's nothing left in the bank to pay it back.
Look, there's always that sense of, you know, fairness. And I understand people who may be texting in going, hold on a minute, I didn't owe $9 million to the banks. I took out a mortgage on a house. It wasn't something that, it wasn't a business that I bought. It wasn't a startup or whatever it is that I was doing that those loans were given debt write down on. I bought a house, and all of a sudden now I'm paying 7.5% interest to a vulture fund who bears no responsibility. It's not part of the regulatory system. And those questions need to be asked. They need to be answered.
Pauline O'Reilly, what AIB, whatever scant detail there was some that some of the debts that were written down to that level were under 1 million. Some were over to the tune of 2 to 3 million, according to Jim O'Keefe. But how many were in each category, that was a bit difficult to find out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there were quite a lot of questions, as I said, and I think that's what leaves people feeling, you know, uncomfortable if they know people who are in debt, which we all do, I'm sure, and are coming to us. I do think one good thing, though, was that the chair of the committee did say that the same treatment would be there for all banks, mm-hmm. so that it's not just AIB, and that's very welcome. And I think if we could ensure that the central bank has a role in this, I think that would bring us closer. But absolutely, there are still questions to be asked, I think, after today's committee.